Praise. It's one of the most important things that you can do after you pray is praise. You're giving him thanks for what he's done, for who he is. You praise. You praise. Psalms 92, if you got your Bibles open up there, said, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-string instrument, a harp, and a melody of lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. Oh, Lord, what great works you do and how deep are your thoughts." This psalm is basically the only psalm that is praising God for what he's done because of the works that he had did on the Sabbath. After God had finished and created all things, he rested from his works, as we all know. So it's a good thing to give thanks and to sing praises. Now, I know some of y'all ain't walking around with harps and lyres and things like that, but it is good to sing unto the Lord. There's some nights when I come home after I get through dashing, and I just stop right in front of the house and just give him praise and just give him thanks. He says to do it in the morning. Start your day off right. Give God praise in the morning. Give him praise in the noonday. Give him praise in the evening. Praise him all day long. It'll change the atmosphere around you. It'll change your family dynamic. It'll change your family line. It'll change your relationships. Praise is what we do. It's a plentiful thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. That word good also means plentiful. It's bountiful to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. It's a wealthy thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. It is a prosperous thing to give praises to the Lord. To give thanks to the Lord and sing praises to the Most High. It is a joyful thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. It's a kindly thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. It's a loving thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. And it's a precious thing. That word good means so many things there. When God created the heavens and the earth, after he finished created those things, he called it good. Plentiful, bountiful, precious, kind, wealthy, prosperity, good. When God does a good thing in you, he doesn't leave anything out. It's good. There's no doom and gloom when you sing praises to the Father. No doom and gloom. There's no depression. It takes a back seat. Better yet, it has to get out of your life because of the love that you have for who he is. There's no doubt and unbelief when you are spending your time praising the Lord. When you are giving thanks to the Lord and singing praises to the Most High, you are not spending your time questioning whether or not you know that God loves you. Because why else would you be doing it? Questioning his motives, his words, the future plan that he already has predestined for your life. All of that ceases to exist when you step into the presence of the Father. When you have spent time getting to know the Father, you're going to have the right point of view of why he loves you the way he loves you. Why he corrects the way he corrects, and why the Father corrects you through his word. His correction isn't long and drawn out. So when you completely trust in him and who he is and how he works, it will bring gladness to your heart. And verse 4 says, "You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me." Now, I just want y'all to just take a moment, just a brief moment, and just think about all that Jesus has done for you. If you truly understand who he is, there should be no hatred for the Father. And if that means that you love more individuals, if there is, that means that you love more other individuals more so than you loved him. That means you love the position more than you loved him. That means you've loved a city more than you loved him. How can we hate a God that loves us? That cares about us? How can we blame him? Fully and totally surrender to God means that no matter what you lead me to do, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. I will still trust the plans you have for me, and I'm going to let go of getting my way and surrender to yours. God made you. He formed you. He knows every detail about you. In 1 Corinthians 16, it says, "Great is the Lord. He is most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, the gods of other nations and are mere idols. But the Lord made the heavens." The God of other nations are mere idols, or mere idiots, if you want to call it. Oh, we don't just have a relationship with someone who is a mere idol. We have a relationship with the most greatest, most powerful, most wonderful, most majestic, most fiercest, the strongest, the undisputed Father in the world, in the history of mankind. The idols that make men, The idols that men make are basically other people. And God created all of us. So why should we set up an idol in our life based upon what man made when he created us? How can his creation worship another created thing or person? No one created God. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. There was none before him. There will be none after. He is the one. God requires our praise. In Luke 19, 36 through 40, it says, this is Jesus. "As he went, many spread their clothes on the road." This is him coming into Jerusalem. "Then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that he had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out.'" I like how the Passion Translation says, it says, "Listen to me, if my followers were silent, the very stones would break forth with praises." See, the enemy didn't want Jesus to receive praises from his people. He doesn't want you to receive praise. He doesn't want you to praise the name of Jesus. "Teacher, rebuke them. Shut them up. Shut them up. They're praising you." They didn't know what they were saying. They didn't have a clue. Stop them from praising you. Man, if you only truly knew who Jesus was. It's a shame that the Pharisees didn't come to that full conclusion. "If these people stop praising me," Jesus says, "these stones will break forth with praises." In other words, God's creation is going to get their praise regardless. God's creation is going to give their praise regardless. Jesus is going to get his praise, whether it's from us or from the rocks. If it wasn't from the people, it would be from the rocks. If it wasn't the rocks, it would be the mountains. If it isn't the mountains, it'll be the trees. If it isn't the trees, it'll be the wind. If it isn't the wind, it'll be the oceans. If it isn't the oceans, it'll be the seas. If it isn't the seas, it will be the lakes. If it isn't the lakes, it will be the man-made ponds. It doesn't matter. And then it's got to come back to the fish in the pond, in the sea, in the oceans, in the lakes. And if it isn't them, it'll be every creeping thing that crawls upon the face of the earth. If it isn't them, it'll be all the birds in the air that fly. God is going to get his praise, whether if it's from us or from the rest of his creation. And I'm not going to let an anteater outpraise me. I'm not going to let something that is less and who I have dominion over outpraise me. Let all of his creation sing praise to him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him at noonday. Praise him when the sun goes down. Praise Jesus. Praise him. Don't be scared. Don't be embarrassed. Praise him. If you got to dance in the middle of your kitchen, praise him. While you're cooking, y'all ever got through eating the meal? And I'm in the middle of your meal, you just start dancing for no reason? Or is that just a black thing? I mean, I'm telling the food is hitting good, and you're like, The potato salad's on point. The ribs are kicking. You start humming. You start, yeah, this is good. You praise him for who he is. You praise him for what he has done. If the rocks begin to cry out, that means the church has been shut up. If rocks begin to cry out to Jesus, his church, his bride, deemed it unnecessary to do because of the pressures it faced from the world. Not today, Satan. In Psalms 150, it says, let everything that has breath sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can't stop God's creation from praising him, no matter what you do. You can't stop God's creation from lifting up the name of Jesus. In Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. There's nothing left. He didn't withhold that. In the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault. In whose eyes? God chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. That's what matters. It doesn't matter what your neighbor sees about you. Doesn't matter what your neighbor says about you. He has deemed it. He has chose us in Christ to be holy. He didn't choose us based upon our works, but because of our believing and receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We chose the Father's chosen one. God decided, next verse, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belonged to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. We have redemption right here. Jesus poured out his blood to free us all from our sins. Forgiveness of sins is not something that we can earn, but it is a free gift that Jesus gave us. His riches and grace are far better than what the world could ever offer other believers. Next verse. God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own evil plan. But bad things happen to good people. It's God's good plan. And this is the plan at the right time. He gives us the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he chose us in advance. He makes everything work out according to whose plan? Ours? His. Even though you see it, even though you may not see it, he's working it according to his plan. He knows those plans that he has for you. Good plans. Beautiful plans. Bountiful plans. Prosperous plans. Wealthy plans. God's purpose that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ will bring praise and glory to God. And now us Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. When you believe in Christ, he identifies us as whose own? His own. By giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago, the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would what? Praise and glorify him. Aren't you so glad you don't have to go out and get a goat and slit his throat? You don't have to go out and kill a bull. Well, some people still do because they're farmers. Offer up turtle doves because you're poor. Pigeons. Hearing the good news does not bring salvation, but believing it does. You can hear it all you want. There's people who heard about Jesus but rejected him. But you got to believe in what you heard. And how can a person hear if they don't have a preacher? Verse 13, Paul said, you heard the truth, the good news that God saved you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his very own by giving you the Holy Spirit. The Passion Translation says, and because of him, when you who are not Jews heard the revelation of truth, you believed in the wonderful news of salvation. Now we have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. Sin can't touch your spirit because you've been sealed. The good news is Jesus paid your debt over 2,000 years ago. You have been stamped with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. So why should you praise God? You praise him because of his great mercy. 1 Peter 1:3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. You should praise God because he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, as we already read in Ephesians 1:3. You should praise God because he loves you and has freed you from your sins. In Revelations 1:4-5, it says, this letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was and is still to come, the sevenfold spirit before his throne and from Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all of the kings of the world. All glory to him who loved us and freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. You should praise God for his unfailing love and faithfulness. Psalms 117 says this, praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth. We're going to read the whole chapter here. For he loves us with unfailing love. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. That's the end of it. Two great scriptures, but they're powerful. Praise the Lord. You shall praise because God gives strength to his people. In Psalm 68, God is awesome in his sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Well, that's talking about Israel. No. That's talking about us because we are his adopted sons and daughters. God didn't say, my children of Israel, they get everything that I have, but you, Gentiles, us, we're just going to give you half of what I give you, what I gave them. No. We know that God is not a respecter of persons. Matter of fact, them living in the old and us in the new, we got it better. We have the Holy Spirit. We got all authority. When they were under the old covenant, Satan was ruling. We got it better. All authority has been given to Jesus. He's took that dominion back from Satan and has given it to the church. They didn't have that in the old covenant. Our Father doesn't withhold any good thing from us. You should praise God because he holds all wisdom and power. In Daniel 2:20, it says, he said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. And if any of you are lacking wisdom and power, he gives generously. We praise him for all he's done and for who he is. Isaiah 25:1 says this, O Lord, I will honor and praise your name, for you are my God. You do such wonderful things. You planned them long ago, and now you have accomplished them. Praise. Praise is a weapon. Let me talk about that next week. But when we enter into his place corporately, all focus is on him. Not on our problems. We lay that at the feet of Jesus. Our focus is on him. We praise him. And so, if we left it there, do we pick it up when we leave? No, we leave it here. At the altar. At his feet. But my situation don't change, but your praise can make it change. You just one praise away from breakthrough. One praise away. We can't get to the place to where we get so proud to where we just can't stop what we're doing in the middle of the day and just give God the praise. Don't matter if you're in your offices. Don't matter if you're in your car. Doesn't matter if you're on the throne, in the bathroom. The porcelain God. Give him praise. He's wonderful. He's mighty. He's awesome. Give him praise. He knows what you're going through. So does Satan. You know how you praise Satan? By grumbling and complaining. Give me more of that. Do the Hogan thing. He's sitting there listening. Give me more of that. Yeah, give me the more grumbling. Give me the more complaining. Give me more of that, please. That feels great, man. I'm doing my job. I got you grumbling and complaining all day long. That's it. That's what I want for you. But God inhabits the praises of his children. The elders are kneeling down, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You believe in him. What Jesus did 2,000 years ago, it was a difficult work for him because he became the very sin that he hated. He became sin for us. He bore our sicknesses, our griefs, our sorrows upon his body. He died, and 3 days later was raised to life. And now he sits on his throne. And all he requires us to do is believe in that message. And if you've never believed in Jesus, this first time you've heard it, just believe in him. Lord, I believe with all my heart. I believe. Confession is made unto salvation, and we believe in our heart unto righteousness, that you now have right standing with God. Just believe. Lord, I believe you're a healer. I believe that you can mend every broken piece in my life. I believe you can heal my relationships with my children, Lord. I believe that you can heal my relationships with my friends, Lord. I believe that you can heal my relationships with my uncles and aunts and things. I believe that, Lord. You restore all things to new.
Be nice to your wife.
Huh?
I said, be nice to your loving wife.
I am nice to my wife.
You know, be nice. I gotta come down and thank you.
Amen. I had a snappy comeback for that one, but I'm not gonna say it. Praise. We praise him for what he's done, not what he's about to do, for what he's done 2,000 years ago. He bore your sins, your sicknesses, your diseases, your ailments, everything that is wrong with you. He already did that 2,000 years ago. And when you get that revelation, that wheelchair ain't going to be a part of you. It's not what he's going to do, it's what he's already done by his grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. We thank you, Lord, that we are your creation. And we will praise you, Lord, with everything that we have. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for that. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Tim. It was a word we all need to hear once in a while, right? About not grumbling and complaining. That's good. A couple announcements. Today's the last day for the Tootsie Roll Drive. We kind of join other churches and donate to the Tootsie Roll Drive. These funds are used for Special Olympics, the ARC, DSNWK, and Bethesda Place. So we appreciate your generosity in this last day of Tootsie Rolls and enjoy some Tootsie Rolls. Who doesn't like a Tootsie Roll, right? I mean, what's not to like? So, also have a video here I want to show you. It's, living in the United States has a lot of benefits, giving everyone the chance for increasing prosperity and success if they are willing to work toward that goal. What is the responsibility as individuals when it comes to ensuring those opportunities survive for the next generation of Americans? Or do we not have a responsibility? On Wednesday, November 1st, we'll begin the DVD series Patriot Academy that will give us opportunity to learn about the biblical principles that have made our nation great. So go ahead and show that video.
Hi, I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution coach. I'm actually in the room where the Constitution was framed and where the Declaration was created and signed. This is Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, a lot of times you ask yourself, how do I become a good citizen? What do I do to live out my freedom in this amazing nation? How do I honor those who came before me that sacrificed for me to be able to have this freedom? And as a believer, how do I live out a biblical citizenship in modern America? Well, we're going to walk through all of those questions. We got a lot of great people that are going to comment on that. And I'm going to teach you in this very room where the Constitution and the Declaration were created. I'm going to teach you the founding documents of America and the biblical worldview that was sown into our nation from the very beginning. So join us on this incredible journey, biblical citizenship in modern America.
You can join us on Wednesdays and partake of that, so that'll be good. Today I want to talk about shine. In Philemon 6, it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you and in Christ Jesus. See, if we want our faith to be effective, we must acknowledge every good thing we have in Christ. Maybe we might call it praise. Right, Pastor Tim? You can't go around acknowledging the negative in your life, your weaknesses, the times you don't measure up, or how you should be more disciplined. Don't go through life thinking little of yourself, focused on your weaknesses, dwelling on your failures. That only makes you feel bad about yourself. Start acknowledging the good that Christ has done in your life. Step in the potential God has put in you. Let the personality He gave you come out and shine. Don't be your worst enemy. Be your best asset. Be your biggest fan. Nobody should think better of you than you, because you recognize God breathes His life in you when you acknowledge the good and when you say, Lord, thank you for the strengths and the talents you put in me. Thank you for the gifts and thank you for your favor. And thank you for taking me where I've always dreamed of going. Then your faith is made effective. You're going to see God show out on your behalf. Let's receive today's tithes and offerings. And don't forget to shine wherever you go. Lord, we just thank you for entrusting us with these good gifts and talents and personalities that we all have. Lord, we just thank you that we can let them shine. We are your children. We just want to honor you in all that we do. We just want to be a blessing wherever we're at. We just want to lift up people wherever we're at. Lord, we just thank you today and honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all may stand. Praise. Praise, 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 praise. Get out of your seat, please, and just pray for somebody before you leave. Amen. Just pray with them before you leave. Find somebody and pray with them before you leave, and y'all dismiss. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.